my most funnest thing in my life to do is to preach the Word of God. This is the one thing you can really get me to talk about. Before I speak, I just want to, you know, Isaiah, I think, is out there, but we had a great time with the men fishing yesterday, and Isaiah caught the biggest fish on the boat yesterday. Yeah, he did a great job. I think there was 10 of us that went out. You can tell that's why I'm red-faced today. My ears are red. My neck is red. I'm truly a redneck today. Hallelujah. Oh, but God is good. Amen. It's just wonderful to be in God's presence. See, when we come together, it's just something about His presence together. Alone, man, I have great times with God. But when we're together and we pray and we stir up the Spirit of God inside of us, it's amazing what God can do. You know, I've been to some of these miracle crusades before, even held a few in other countries. And it just seems like when we start praying in the Spirit is when the miracles happen. It's just God just moves and just flows. And I've been to some of these crusades, and they just tell you, just pray in the Spirit for a bit. As you pray in the Spirit, people just start getting healed. I mean, I don't know if you ever watched like Benny Hinn crusades. The people that come up on the stage have already been healed because they've been where? In God's presence. Amen. They've already been praying and worshiping. And that's, man, that's my favorite time, too, is just to worship together. Well, you know, last Sunday was Easter. The house was a lot fuller than it is today. They say this is the toughest Sunday of the year, so I'm glad that you're here today. We have the team coming back from Asia tonight. They're going to arrive about 8:30. They've had a great time there, but they've had some serious challenges with the plane rides. About getting on the planes. They've missed a couple of planes. And Delonda texted me right before service. I was so thankful. She says, we're on the plane, the last plane home. And I'm like, hallelujah. So, you know, just pray that they make it home safely to LAX tonight. There's a group of us going to go meet them, and we're going to wave signs and welcome them home, because it has been a trial for them on the flights. But they had a great time where they were. Loving on them kids, and they just were with the kids the whole time, and their hearts were full for those kids. And Delonda, she filled a suitcase full of food, refried beans, hamburger, tortillas, cheese. She froze it all, and she brought that suitcase because there's like 20 foreigners where they went. And they came together, and Delonda made them a taco dinner. And she said they were so blessed by that meal. You know, because when you're out of your element and you're there for quite a while, it's really great when somebody comes and makes you a great taco dinner. So that's part of what the ladies did there one night this last week. And Carly, she called me. She said, Dad, this is so incredible. We need to get as many people to go next year as possible. And I said, okay, Carly, we'll do that. So I want you to be praying about that. If you want to go, listen, if you want to go anywhere, what's the number one thing you got to do? All right, what's the number two thing you got to do?
Get your passport.
Get your passport. You feel God stirring in your heart, go get your passport right now. You can go to the post office or the library, get the application, and figure out everything, and get your passport, and God will make a way for you, amen, just like He does for us to go. So we praise God for that team coming home today. I'm excited to see my wife, hallelujah. So, and I'm excited to see you guys. So today the title of my message is Between the Cross and Pentecost, because this is a week after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and the subtitle, I guess, today would be Doubt. You know, because when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, it was a tough time for them disciples, and they were filled with doubt. And I have a number of scriptures here that talks about the doubt that these men experienced, and women. They were with Jesus for over 3 years, but yet when it came right down to it, when everything went down, they all doubted in their hearts. So, Ed, why don't we start with number one there, the scripture. This Great Commission, Matthew 28, 16 and 17, it says, then the 11 disciples went into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But everybody read that last part. Everybody read that last part. But some doubted. Ed? And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. So Mary, she went to the tomb and she had seen Jesus in the garden. She worshiped him in the garden. And then he said, you know, go and tell them to meet me in Galilee, like I said. And as they went, she went and told them, said, hey, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And they're like, really? Huh. Probably not the excitement she was hoping to receive. You know, it's kind of like when Peter got put into prison. And they were praying for Peter to get released from prison. Peter got released from prison and he came and he's knocking on their door. Let me in, let me in. And the lady opens the door and she says, oh my gosh, Peter. And she shut the door. And she went back in and they said, who's at the door? And they go, Peter. She goes, Peter. And they go, oh, it must be a ghost, man. Peter's in prison. She says, no, I'm pretty sure it was Peter. And so then they go and they open the door. And he's like, hey, what's up, guys? Come on, let me in. We tend to doubt. When the miraculous happens, we tend to want to explain it away, you know, but the miraculous still does happen, amen? I told you last week about the lady, came in here paralyzed, walked out of the service that day. She said, Pastor, my leg came alive. Her leg came alive, right in the service right here, just a little bit ago, a few months ago, right here. Her leg came alive. We've seen so many miracles happen in our life because we didn't doubt, and we don't try to explain it away. We give all glory to God, amen? All glory to God. He is our healer. But they didn't see it, so they didn't believe it. How many of you have ever seen Jesus in the natural? How many of you believe in Jesus? Then you're blessed people. You're blessed people. Mark 16:13, it says, they went and told the rest, but they did not believe them either. They had a real hard time believing this. And then in 16:14 of Mark, it says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He rebuked them. This is right before they said, he walked into the room, he walked through the door, didn't open the door, he walked through the door, he came into the room and he rebuked them. He said, hey, come on guys, here I am. What's so hard to believe about this? Not everybody receives it. Luke 24:11. Their words seemed like idle tales. They did not believe them. And you know, I think to the world today, a lot of this seems like idle tales. And they don't believe it. They don't receive it. They don't run to Jesus. They don't commit their lives to Christ. You know, there's probably people here today that say, yeah, some of this is far-fetched and I have a hard time believing it. You say, how can you say that, Pastor? Because it's true. Not everybody. Listen, I came to church for a long time and didn't go all in with Jesus. I came to church for years and just sat there. Made sure the pastor saw that I was here. Because back in the day, they used to call you if you didn't show up. So I made sure my mom saw me and the pastor saw me. And when it got a little too hot in here spiritually, whoop, I'd go out the door because I'd sit in the back, so exit stage right. Whoop. I'm like, come on, honey, let's go get the kids. And then one day, somebody set me in the fourth row. And I'm like, where Tommy is right now. I couldn't just get up and run. Because one thing, you know, I always, no matter where I've been in my life with God, I always want to be respectful. in the house of God. And as I sat there, a little too long that day. And the Holy Spirit fell on me. And I started crying. And everything just washed out of me. I told the food ministry on Friday, I was ministering at the food ministry. Just keep it that way. I was sitting here. But I came in with my baggage. I had a bag full of junk when I came in. And I always sat in the back so I could leave with my junk. So that I didn't have to do anything with my junk. I could carry my bag in. I could sit down in the back. I could get out the door before anybody. What if they saw my junk, Mike? What if I hung out too long and they saw it? I sat here that day a little too long. The Holy Spirit saw my junk and he said, today's your day. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I ran to this altar. I opened up my bag and I dumped it out. And he filled it up with his love. And I left with just the love of God in my bag. No more junk. Amen. It just left it right here. I just poured out that bag of stuff and I left free. But I came to church for so often, so long, just lugging my bag. But I said, man, I'm going to get rid of my baggage. I'm going to be free. This is not going to be idle tales to me. This is reality. See, we think the natural is the reality. We think because you pinch yourself that that's the reality. You can feel the pain. Oh, the supernatural is our reality. Heaven is our reality now. The kingdom of heaven is our reality, or it should be. Not just here on earth, not this physicalness, but the spiritual aspect should be our reality, amen? And these guys, it would seem like idle tales to them. And then John 20, 24 and 25, you know the story of Thomas if you've been in church a little bit. It says, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So he wasn't there when Jesus came walking into the room. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. And so he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Unless I can physically see it, I'm not going to believe. Let's pray. Father, in your word today, I pray that all doubt and unbelief would be done away with, God. That, Lord, that they would no longer be idle tales to us today, God. But, Lord, that today we all go all in with the Lord. That, Lord, that we empty out our bag of junk, Lord, and we leave with the love of God in our hearts and our minds. That, Lord, that you'd fill us today overflowing with your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Believing. He wants us to believe, amen, not doubt. Believing in something bigger than yourself. Believing in something that you can't explain. That you can't figure out. God wants us to go all in. And you're either going to believe or you're going to doubt. You're going to doubt things. I mean, I can stand here and tell you story after story of story of miracles that I've seen around the world. And you're either going to believe it or you're going to doubt. You're going to explain it away or, you know, we make excuses or whatever. But I've seen too much to doubt. I know the Lord God is our healer. I know the Lord God is our provider. I know, hallelujah, the Lord God. Amen. And I believe in him so much. And that's what God wants from us. And with these scriptures that I just read to you this morning, the very people that spent 3 years with Jesus didn't remember the things that he had told them. They didn't remember the quotes that he gave them. He told them no less than 3 times that he was going to die, and 3 days later he'd be raised up. He told them no less than 3 times that this was going to happen. That's what's recorded in the Word. 3 times he told them. You know, but sometimes when we hear things we don't like, we discard it. You know, like even here today, you might hear some things that you don't like what I say, and you might just say, eh, and you discard it. They didn't like what Jesus said. Matter of fact, Peter went as far to take the Lord aside and rebuke him when Jesus was trying to tell him what was going to happen. And Peter rebuked the Lord, and the Lord looked at him and said, "Get behind me, Satan." You see, because when we don't receive what God is saying, it's offensive to God. Amen. And it was offensive to the Lord that Peter would even talk to him that way. And he said, "Get behind me, Satan." You know, and we've got to learn to receive what God is saying to us. But somebody tells you things, and we can either have that expectation that it's going to happen, or, you know, we don't hear with understanding what's going to happen, and so we don't believe it's going to happen, and we just think it's idle tales. We just think it's a fairy tale. You know, I mean, because he heard him say, well, this building will be torn down, and it'll be rebuilt in 3 days. And see, they're looking at a building when he is the building, amen? He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's talking about himself, and they couldn't perceive it. They couldn't receive it. And when we can't perceive and receive things, we just do away with it. But God today is telling us, I want you to perceive Jesus today. I want you to get a hold of Jesus, and I want you to know that he did die. He was resurrected from the dead 3 days later, and he is alive today. And he is on the throne heaven of God. Amen. He is up there. He's alive and doing well. But these guys, they just couldn't get it. But Jesus had told them in Matthew 16:21, he says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Everybody say, third day. Third day. It's not the band. It's the third day of his resurrection. And then in Luke 9:22, he says, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised on the... Next. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the... He will rise again. He will rise again. Okay, it's very clear that he told them what was going to happen, but it didn't sink into them, or their eyes were blinded to it. They didn't want to receive it. You know, they just didn't understand what was happening. And so when Mary comes and says, hey, he's alive. And they're like, what? No. You know, Peter ran. John ran. They went to the tomb. They looked in. He's like, he's gone. And it just says Peter pondered these things. Just started thinking about these things. But he rose again. The angel was on the tomb. I mean, I love the way Matthew describes it. When Matthew describes it, I just see like this angel coming out of heaven, like just boom, hitting the ground. And then the rock rolling back. And he's saying, he's not here. He rose again. Just like he told you he was going to do. I can just see it, man. The angel just coming out like lightning out of heaven and just hitting the ground, and an explosion happened. And that rock just go. What are you looking for? He's not here. And the angel says, he told you he would not be here. He told you he would raise again. The angel told. And you know, so many things in the Word of God, we know because the Lord tells us this. But yet, we still doubt. We still are moved by all of our circumstances of life. We're still moved by a doctor's report. We're still moved by, you know, the circumstances of this life. We get shaken. We get so worked up. Doubt creeps in, the unbelief comes, the confusion comes. That's what happened to the disciples, man. They doubted, they were filled with unbelief, and then the confusion came. The confusion came so bad that they went back to what they used to do. And you know, when you get confused in the body of Christ, many people have come in, they've been touched by God, they've walked with God, but then something happened where they got confused, they got doubt came in for whatever reason, and they went back to what they knew before. They go back into what they did before, and that's what these guys did. They went back to fishing. They went back to what they knew instead of what God had been telling them. So how does this happen? How does this happen to us? Number one, you ready? When expectations aren't met. When you're looking for something and it doesn't go the way you're thinking it should go, and you don't know how to respond, doubt creeps in. You have an expectation. It's like when you married your mate. You know, I ask people when they're getting married, what are your expectations? Young people getting married say they have almost no expectations of their mate. And we really do. We really do. Do you expect from your mate? You know, I know men, they expect that dinner to be on the table when they walk in the door. They get home from work. They get off work at 5. They'll be home by 5:30, and they expect dinner 5:35 on that table, ready to go. And all the men said. See, well, we have expectations, and when they're not met, we get disappointed. We get disappointed in the person. We get disappointed in our mates because they're not living up to the expectations. But most of the time, it's unspoken expectations. And listen, when you have expectations that aren't met and you get disappointed and you get delusioned, you get filled with doubt, that's your problem. That's your problem. When you come into the church and you have unrealized expectations of the church, that's not the church's fault. That's on you. You have expectations that we don't know. I've had people call me and say, or come see me, Pastor, I haven't been here for a couple weeks. I said, yeah, no, we missed you. Because we don't call you anymore. We don't bug you. You know, people are blown about by the wind all over the place these days. You know, so we don't bug you when you're not here for a couple of weeks. We pray for you. But people come to me and say, well, I was in the hospital. And I'm like, this is how I was. No way. No, really, I was. No, it's not possible you could be in the hospital. No, really, I was in the hospital. No, I don't believe you. Because you didn't call me. You didn't call me and let me know. You know, because they get on me. Well, you didn't visit me. You didn't come see me. I don't know that you were in the hospital. I love it when people call. You know, Marlene, I love what you do. Marlene is such a blessing. She calls me, Pastor, I've got to go here and there. I'm going to be with my kids on Sunday, you know, but I'll be there in the next week. She calls me and lets me know when she's not going to be in church. I'm like, wow. Marlene, you're not natural. You're supernatural. You're supernatural. You are supernatural because most people, they just step out and then if you see them again, it's okay, right? Pastor Jesse, that's how it works, right? They don't feel like, well, I've got to let you know. It's my life. I do it. And you know what? I don't expect you to call me, but if you want something out of me, you got to call me. Amen? And I'll tell you what. You call me, I'll come. I get calls all the time. People down in the hospital. I beat the ambulance there sometimes. I'm like, I'm looking for such and such. They're like, well, they're not here. I said, they're on their way then. Because I got a phone call. Because I want to be there. I want to pray. I want to get you up and get you out of there so you're not staying there. Amen. You know, I'm like, well, Pastor, we've only been here for 15 minutes. You know, I'm like, well, I got a phone call. You call the prayer line. Carol, call me. Hey, you need to know this one. And bam, I'm there. Because we have expectations. When our expectations aren't met, doubt creeps in. And when you allow doubt to creep in the body of Christ, you become disillusioned about the church. And how many of you know that the church, we're imperfect people, amen? We're not perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not perfect. Now, some of you are pretty close and you're doing a good job, but we're not perfect people, amen? But this is what happens. The devil uses doubt to convince people they're not loved, they're not good enough, they're not wanted, that they can fade away and nobody's going to care. It just goes on and on and on, what the devil does when doubt creeps in us. And the only way that doubt can creep into us is if we allow it. If we allow it. Number two, as to how doubt gets in, when you see with your natural eyes a supernatural event. See, when you see something happen, like a resurrected Jesus come through the walls and you doubt, when you see a lady that's in a wheelchair that came in the service that had been coming to the church and could not walk, and she came through a line, and I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed during worship, and she went to the back and she stood up. She literally stood up, and I said, oh my gosh, she's standing up. I said, I thought she couldn't walk. And I'm watching this event take place in my eyes, and I really don't know what's going to happen. So when the service was over, I went looking for her, but because she could walk, because the Lord woke her leg up, she took off. I went to her friend, I said, Joe, where's the lady? He goes, I don't know, she took off walking. You standing there holding the wheelchair, I don't know what happened. You know, I witnessed a supernatural event, amen. And I went on and I did a video and I told all the world about it that very day because, wow, God still heals, amen. You know, but what I realized about Jesus is they didn't take his life. He gave him his life. He laid down his life for you and me, amen. It was bigger than himself. He did it for us so that we could have life. Jesus laid it all down. See, and we're living in a natural world with the supernatural all around us. We're not to be natural beings. We're to be supernatural. We're to look through the supernatural at the natural things. And we'll have a greater understanding of what God is doing. But when we're looking with our natural eyes, we're not going to get it. We're not going to understand it. We're going to doubt. We're going to become disillusioned with the church because we're always looking with our natural. When you're looking with your natural, you just don't understand what God is doing. You can't see what God is doing in your life. You're like, well, I think God, we tell God what we think he should be doing. I think God should be doing this, but he's doing this. And you're like, but I don't like this. This isn't working out for me, but he's still doing this. And God wants us to look to this, to what he is doing, so that you can have greater understanding of who he is and what he's doing in your life. But when you just stay stuck, you miss out on what God has for you. See, it's like this, supernatural. Here's a supernatural. You ready? John 3:16. For God so loved, everybody say love. For God so loved you. For God so loved you, the world, you, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, everybody say whoever, believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves, amen? So, and then Romans 8:28, and we know, everybody say we, know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So with these scriptures, these two scriptures right here, supernaturally, I know that God loves me, amen? And B, I know everything will be okay. I know that he loves me and I know everything's going to be okay no matter what's going on. So when I'm in a tough situation, I'm stuck on he loves me. When I'm going through something really rough, I just declare he loves me and I know that everything's going to be okay. Why? The word of God tells me. And my role in this is this. This is your role too. A, you must believe. Whoever believes in him, you must believe. When you believe, okay, and I must remain in his purpose. See, I came to church for so long out of God's purpose. I came to church out of guilt. I came to church so I didn't get the phone call. I came to church so my mom knew I was still a good kid. You know, I came to church for Delonda's mom. I came to church for Delonda's dad, who was a pastor here. I came to church for all the wrong reasons. But I came to church and I was not in God's purpose. And that's a lot of people in the church today. They come, you go to the Bible Belt. Everybody goes to church in the Bible Belt. Why? Because that's what you do. I come to church because I'm in his purpose. I'm walking his purpose. It says, all things. Everybody say all. They work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. That you're living in his purpose. Not your own purpose, but his purpose. In other words, I learned to live in the supernatural, not the natural. Because natural man is being on my phone all the time. Natural man is, you know, just not fellowshipping. Natural man is not serving in the house of God. Natural man, you know, is just not connecting. Doesn't connect with God or with people. You know, and you all have different ways that God wants to use you. Like somebody put in all these new lights for us. Just bless the church. Put in all these lights. The outside lights. Somebody just came and said, Pastor, I'm going to put all these lights up for you. Put up all these lights for us this last week. Just took care of it for us. He's like, them old lights are ugly. I'm going to put new ones up. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. You know, we all have our role. Amen. I look at Bob and Yolanda. They usher. They serve every week. I look at the sound guys. They're here serving media every week. The worship team, they're here every week. They're worship, man. And Bob today, Bob, you were just on fire with them drums today. I loved it. I love it. You know, we've got to just know that coming and serving the greeters, Scott and Vicky, are here every week just glorifying God. And Scott says, hey, Pastor, Scott's another one of them guys. He texts me, I'm not going to be there that next Sunday. Or he calls me, lets me know. They just let me know I'm not going to be here. We got this going on. They care about the house of God. They're remaining in his purpose. And my purpose, your purpose, should be evidence that you're alive in Christ. There should be evidence, amen? People should be able to know you're alive in Jesus. This means that I cut off those things that are outside of God. I empty my bag. I empty my bag. I'm done with that stuff. I stop feeding my natural man, and I'm feeding my supernatural man. I'm alive in Christ. Amen. To live in the supernatural, I need to trust God. To live in the supernatural, I need to trust God. We sang a lot about it today. We've got to trust God, that God's got it. Amen. We've got to trust him. See, and then B, to live in the supernatural, I can't be moved by the circumstances of life. Because I can't be moved by the circumstances of life because I trust God, because I believe in God, because I remain in his purpose, because I'm not moved by every circumstance, because I trust God, I believe in God, I remain in God, and so I can't be moved by every circumstance because I trust God, I believe in God, I remain in God. It's like a perpetual wheel. It's like having spinners on your car. You know that when the wheel stops, the spinners keep rolling? It's a perpetual motion that you remain in Christ, because you believe, because you trust, you remain in Christ, that it just, you're not moved. You're not moved by situations of life. Because listen, situations are always going to come. Situations in life are always going to happen. There's things going to happen all around us. We live in a fallen world, but we're supernatural, amen? So we don't have to tolerate the natural. We got to learn to live in the supernatural so that we're not shaken and moved by everything that happens in our life. Because, hey, I a couple of ladies come in today and say, oh, I was in such pain when I woke up this morning, but I knew that I had to get here. That's supernatural living. I'm going to press past how I feel into the supernatural. Amen? Amen. I'm going to be healed. And you are healing. You're being healed right now in his presence. It's that perpetual motion that just keeps going. And this keeps us out of the doubt. Amen. If we doubt God every time something doesn't go our way or doesn't go the way we think we should, it should, we're going to be doubting a lot of the time. Because it doesn't always happen the way we think it should. It doesn't always go down the way we want it to. But I trust God. I believe in God. I remain in his purpose. I'm not moved by the circumstance. I trust God. I believe in God. I remain in God. I'm not moved by every circumstance. I trust God. I believe in God. I'm not moved by every... Amen? It's a perpetual wheel. It just keeps rolling in my life so that I just stay the course and I don't get knocked off. I don't get moved by what's going on around me. I learned how to pray. I learned to seek his face in these situations. I know this guy. This one guy. I'm going to finish up with this if the worship team can come back. I know this guy that slipped away from God for a few years, and he still went to church, but he was not remaining in Christ. He was living in his natural man. He did what he wanted, and he set God's purpose aside. One day, God got a hold of him, and he surrendered wholly to Jesus. And when he made that commitment to Jesus, he began to volunteer in the church as an usher. And he was a good usher. But he doubted that God could use him in the way that God had told him he would as a kid. He doubted it because of all that he had done. And so he was being the usher, but he went to God one day after he'd made that commitment to God. And he asked if God could use a man like him, even though he had failed so miserably. And the Lord took him to the book of Jeremiah to read it. This is what it says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to whom all I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid of their eyes, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I've put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build and to plant. The man didn't make it past that before just falling down and worshiping God and crying out to God. And thanking God that he had a plan. Even though he had messed up so bad, he was so excited about what God still wanted to do in his life. The man wept, and he just stayed in God's purpose. The doubt was overtaken by God's promise. Jesus promised the disciples he would raise again in 3 days. They forgot the promise, and they were shaken. They hid, they were in fear, and they doubted even after they saw him. The guy I was talking about is now pastor of a church. He travels around the world preaching Jesus. That guy's me. That's my story. And I just don't doubt God anymore. I let him be God in my life. I'm just remaining in his purpose. I believe that God wants to do something supernatural in your life today. I believe that God wants to fill you overflowing with his spirit today. That there's no doubt. There's no fear that his purpose will be so alive inside of you that you're not shaking and moving, but that you trust, you believe, you stay in that in purpose. You stay in that perpetual wheel of His motion in your lives, fulfilling what God has promised you today. That you overcome the fears of this life. Get out of doubting. You say, but Pastor, I've done so much. So did I. I remember Pastor Dave, the former pastor of this church, he said, Ron, he still tells me that today. He goes, I would have never imagined you doing what you do today. I didn't either until I stepped in my purpose with God. He said, what is my purpose? Maybe you don't know what your purpose is. My purpose started at that door right there. Opening the door for people, handing them a bulletin, greeting them with a smile, shaking their hand as they came in, showing them to a seat. That's how my purpose came alive inside of me. I didn't start out preaching. I didn't start out teaching. I didn't start out declaring the word of God to a bunch of people. I was happy to be a servant in the house of the Lord until God put it in me that there's more. Why don't we stand today? Let's pray. Father, we give you praise today. Father, we believe today, Lord, in your purpose, God. We trust you today, God. We want to get out of doubt, Lord, and into purpose today, God. We want to get out of doubt and unbelief into believing, into trusting, into your purpose, Father God, that your kingdom would be done through our lives, Father God. Lord, I just hear the Lord tell me there's great vision in people in this house. But you haven't, you've doubted whether God could do it or not. You've sat on it for so long, you think, oh, I'm too old, I'm too tired. But God says, I'll resurrect that in you today if you'll just let go of that doubt, if you'll just trust me today. God says, I'll bring that thing to birth. I'll bring it to life. God says, I'll breathe on it today by His Spirit. Oh, yeah. And there'll be life again. Oh, if that's you today that I'm talking to right now, you've had dreams and they seem like they're dead and past, and you just believe that God can resurrect that thing, I want you to raise your hand right now. Just raise your hand right now. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I speak life into those dreams. We breathe on it today, God. Let that fire be resurrected today, God. Lord, in those hindrances that have created doubt, Lord, we just cast them down today. And we believe, Father, for the resurrection of those dreams. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Maybe you've been living in doubt. You've been disillusioned about what's happening in this life. Maybe you're even carrying around that bag I was carrying around for so long. You say, Pastor, today's my day, man. I'm moving out of doubt into belief. I'm letting go of my fears, my doubts today, and I'm stepping into belief. I'm stepping into that perpetual motion of God's Spirit being alive in me today. If that's you, just raise your hand right now. And so, amen, amen, amen. Praise God, amen, amen. Hallelujah, praise God. Praise God, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Why don't we just, you know, if you raise your hand for any of that today, why don't you just come to the front? Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you say, I want to be just down here. Because I believe that God just wants to touch us today. God just wants us to fill us as we worship right now. Go ahead, Nidias, they're coming. Just sing. Just worship the Lord right now. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you.